All right, we welcome you tonight. As you know, we are to honor our high school seniors at the end of the service. I'd like to say a few things because I will conclude my part of honoring them during this hour. Our seniors are Kyle Blanchard, Tyler Blanchard, Melvin Jones III, better known as Tripp, Paul Dennis, Trevor Green, Mackenzie Allen, Madison Flinor, Haley Gonawicha, and Crystal Ruffin. Well, we're real proud of all of these, and we got a large number this year. We're very happy for that. I was given this by Jessica Bradley 10 years ago, 2007. One day, when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class walking home from school. His name was Kyle. Looked like he was carrying all of his books. I thought to myself, why would anyone bring all of his books on Friday? He must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend planned with parties and football game with my friends tomorrow afternoon. So I shrugged my shoulders and went on. As I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running toward him. They ran at him and knocking all the books out of his arms and tripping him so he landed in the dirt. And his glasses went flying. I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet from him. He looked up and I saw this terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him. So I jogged over to him as he crawled around looking for his glasses. And I saw a tear in his eye. As I handed him his glasses, I said, those guys are jerks. They really should get a life. He looked at me and said, hey, thanks. There was a big smile on his face. It was one of those smiles that showed real gratitude. I helped him pick up his books and ask him where he lived. It turned out that he lived near me. So I asked why I had never seen him before. And he said that he had gone to a private school before now. I would never have hung out with a private school kid before. We talked all the way home, and I carried some of his books. He turned out to be a really cool kid. I asked him if he wanted to play a little football with my friends, and he said yes. We hung out all the weekend. And the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him, and my friends thought the same of him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with a huge stack of books again. And I stopped him and said, boy, you're really going to build some serious muscles with this pile of books every day. He just laughed and handed me half the books. And over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. When we were seniors, we began to think about college. Kyle decided on Georgetown, and I was going to Duke. I knew that we would always be friends, and that the miles would never be a problem. He was going to be a doctor, and I was going for business on a football scholarship. Kyle was valedictorian of our class. I teased him all the time about being a nerd. He had to prepare a speech for graduation. And I was so glad that it wasn't me having to get up there and speak on graduation day. I saw Kyle. He looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out, actually looked good in glasses. And he had more dates than I had, and all the girls loved him. Boy, sometimes I was jealous. And today was one of those days. I saw that he was nervous about his speech. So I smacked him on the back and said, hey, big guy, you'll be great. He looked at me with one of those looks, the really grateful one, and smiled. And he said, thanks. As he started his speech, he cleared his throat. And he began. Graduation is a time to thank those who helped you make it through those tough years. Your parents, teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. I'm here to tell all of you that being a friend to someone is the best gift that you can give. I'm going to tell you a story, he said. I just looked at my friends with unbelief as they told the story of the first day that we met. He planned to kill himself over the weekend. He talked of how he had cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later and was carrying his stuff home. He looked hard at me and gave a little smile. He said, "Thankfully, I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable." I heard the gasp go through the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us all about his weakest moment. I saw his mom and dad looking at me and smiling that same grateful smile. Not until that moment did I realize its depth and meaning. Never understood or never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life for better, for worse. Look for good in others. Something that he said in this story that I want to choose for our thoughts tonight. It's the part about being a friend to others, the great benefit and value that it is. I'd like to read to you a short story from Aesop's Fables on friends. And it's about a hare with many friends. A hare with many friends was very popular with all the other animals who all claimed to be her true friend. One day she heard hunting hounds approaching and hoped to escape with the help of her many friends. So she went to the horse and asked him to carry her away from the dangerous hounds. The horse declined, with the excuse that he had important work to do for his master. The horse felt sure that any of the other friends would come to the hare's assistance. She then approached the bull and hoped that he would repel the hounds with his horns. The bull replied, "I'm very sorry, but I have an appointment, although I feel sure that your friend the goat will do what you want." The goat, however, feared that his back might do the hare some harm if he took her upon his back. And the ram, he felt sure, was the proper friend to ask for help. So she went to the ram and told him her case for assistance. The ram replied, "Another time, my dear friend, I do not like to interfere on the present occasion, as hounds have been known to eat sheep as well as hares." Hare then finally went to the calf as the last hope, who regretted that he was unable to help her, as he did not like to take the responsibility upon himself, as so many older persons than himself had declined the task. By this time, the hounds were in plain sight, and the hare took to her heels and luckily escaped. The moral of the story from Aesop's fable: he that has many friends has no friends at all. Muhammad Ali said this: "Friendship is the hardest thing in the world to explain. It's not something you learn in school. But if you haven't learned the meaning of friendship, you really haven't learned anything at all." You notice that there are no classes on friendship? None in grade school, high school, college? Where do you learn about it? Actually, the best place to go is the Bible itself. Has a lot to say about it. It's one of the words in the Greek for love. It's the best place to learn about what friendship means. I'd like to give you just a few of those principles tonight. The greatest and best friendships come about when two people have the same biblical value system. Everybody has a value system of some kind, and they can be friends upon that faulty foundation for a while. But faulty foundations for friendship will eventually fail you. They may seem stable. You may seem like the best of friends. But in the end, it'll come crashing down. I have old friends now from 50 to 60 years ago. One called me the other night. He's a preacher who has been preaching over 60 years. He's now in his 80s, lives in Alabama. He was one of my teachers. But in addition to that, and more importantly to me, he was my friend and is my friend. And I enjoy those phone calls. In the Bible, Jonathan and David are known for their friendship. That friendship was tested when the father, who was king, Saul, disliked David and tried to kill him. To his credit, the king's son, Jonathan, valued honesty and truth over power and over a false relationship with his father. That story actually illustrates both the points I'm trying to make. That is, the value of a biblical, anchored system upon which you can build friendship. And the opposite of it, where you can have a relationship and you can be friends, but if it's on the wrong foundation, as Saul certainly was with anyone, it will fail you. The weakest value systems are those based upon the world's values. Jesus and Judas could never have been friends. Judas loved money. He was not sincere. And Jesus, of course, right the opposite. But if Judas had chosen this biblical, godly value system that Jesus held to, they could have been the best of friends, like Jesus and John were. And number two, something else the Bible teaches you that you will not learn in school is that you can become friends with God Himself. That is an amazing thing. The Bible says of Abraham that he was the friend of God. Listen to James. The scriptures was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. James 2, verse 23. Jesus said this, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. John 15, 13 through 15. James, the brother of Christ, said it this way. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, probably here speaking of spiritual adultery, of loving the gods of this world. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Here is drawn the sharpest contrast between these two systems, these value systems. To be a friend of the world is to set yourself at enmity with God. To be a friend of the world, you must therefore forsake the world. The highest form of friendship is for a person to be a friend with God. This covenant cannot be the same as with fellow human beings, because this friendship is with a creator. Jesus laid down his life for his friends, and that is because he loved us. He did what was in our best interest, even if we didn't understand. And because we are creatures made by the creator, he has every right to command us. It is not a dictatorial thing. It is not, you're my friends if you do what I tell you to do, the kind of thing that human friends might say. But he's saying that for our best interest, that if we obey him, we will be blessed. The greatest of friendships exist when two people have this bond of friendship with God. Now, everything else that we say about friendship must be based upon these two truths. That you can be a friend with God, and that these two who would be friends must base their friendship upon a biblical value system. Basing your friendship with humans on these two principles, you can have the strongest bonds of friendship in life with one another. These relationships can stand the test of time and circumstances. Someone wrote a book on this subject, on being a friend. Eugene Kennedy, 1982. Listen to in part what he wrote. For those who see friendship as the path of life or face with liking themselves enough to be able to put themselves aside for the sake of others, to give up wanting to be number one. Men and women who are friendly to themselves learn to let go of themselves for the sake of believing in and loving others. And then he wrote this: a mighty power resides in the persons who know how to be friends. They can enlarge the lives of others, and they can heal their wounds, and they can see them through the most complex of problems in order to achieve the simplest of rewards, like honor, truth, integrity, and the sense of lives well lived. And they also do this for themselves. We become heroes by being friends to others. We frequently do not observe this hero he wrote inside of ourselves as clearly as we do the wrongdoer or the self-concerned adolescents in ourselves. One of the great mysteries of life lies in the fact that people so regularly fail to see or deliberately look away from what is good about themselves. Born for friendship and at our best in the midst of it, we treat ourselves in an unfriendly manner. Those are powerful words by Eugene Kennedy. And number four, every Christian ought to have a set of strong beliefs about friendship. We talk about what we believe in churches a lot. We talk about the doctrines that we hold. We talk about biblical theology. Have you ever thought about a theology for friendship? We ought to have one. What is it? Which ones have you embraced? What guides you in your making friends, in your relationship with others that you have come to know? Friendships happen in a wonderful, natural way. It does not and must not be manipulated or manufactured. There is a mystery in regard to friendship. Probably most of us could not explain why we're so close to this person and not that one. There's a mystery to its development and what draws you together. The Bible says this: if you desire to have friends, you must show yourself to be friendly. Proverbs 18, verse 24. I suspect that it is true that what draws us together as friends is what we said earlier. It's because we value the same value system. Because we believe in the same high ideals. And because you have developed it in your character and I in mine, then we're drawn together upon that basis. We should also know this about our theology for friendship. You cannot have friends with everyone. There are, in fact, some people you should not develop a friendship with. The Bible says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Proverbs 22, verse 24. We could, without harming this passage, include other characteristics in it. It's not just with an angry man. It's with a lot of other kinds of behavior in people. That if that is a part of their life and behavior, then we should make no friends with them. I think we misunderstand friendship often. I think we think it is some nebulous, sweet little white puffy cloud of thing. That it's just something that if you want, you can pursue. If not, you don't. And that there are no rules regarding it and guiding it. No theology for friendship. That would be contrary to everything the Bible says about it. Where it begins this teaching about the value system upon which we should build our lives and being friends with God. So there are rules. And there are definite things that should guide us in our development of friendships. Paul said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Another passage. Evil companions corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. There are specific guidelines for developing lifelong relationships. I believe that one is based upon Jesus' statement of the golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7, verse 12. If you're going to have friends, then you should treat them as you would like to be treated. With love, with respect, with honor. Not belittling them, but building them up. There is a mutual blessing which flows from having friends. Solomon said it this way, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. I can remember in the days in the South when we used a thing called a hoe to cut the weeds and the grass out of the crops. And after a while, it would grow quite dull and difficult to use. But you took another piece of iron, a file, and you struck the hoe back and forth, and it sharpened the hoe. That's what Solomon is saying. As iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens the countenance of another. That you can brighten their day and you can bless them as in the reading of the story with which we began. What changed the life of that young man named Kyle? Was it not one who extended friendship to him? Was it not because human contact was important? When someone was about to do something so very unhuman. And it helped them to get back on the right path and to see the beauty of life again. May God bless you in developing friends with one another. Thank you for being a part of this assembly tonight. If you need to obey the gospel to become the friend of God, we invite you to do that while we stand and sing together.